the Father's house today. Lots of food on the table, and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by. When a hush comes the singing as the Father sadly cries.
Thank you, Laquita. I appreciate that. Well, good morning once again. Obviously, I am not Jerry Abbott. I really am your pastor. And Jerry had to cancel this for this meeting that we had set up for Manna Sunday. And so we will be rescheduling that. His wife is having health issues. So you're just stuck with me today. Would you stand, if you would, please, and turn to Psalm chapter 119, and we're going to plug in at verse number 18. The title of my message today is Open Our Eyes, Lord. Open Our Eyes, Lord. Psalm 119, and we'll just read one verse together. Look as we read, if you would please, notice what is being written. This is a prayer. And it says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Pray with me if you would, please. Heavenly Father, as we come to this point of worship in this particular hour, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would open the eyes of individuals who are here today. For those, Lord, who might not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, dear God, that you would open their eyes to salvation. Lord, that you would save the lost today. Dear God, for believers, Lord, who might be preoccupied with so many cares of the world, I pray, Lord, that you would open their eyes to spiritual realities. Lord, as we look around the landscape of our country today, there is so much turmoil. There is so much going on, rioting in our streets, demonstrations. Lord, so much confusion. There doesn't have to be, but there is. So, Lord, I pray that you will open the eyes of our people and our nation. Dear God, that they might clearly see the things that you are trying to teach us, the things that you want us to understand and to know. And, Lord, I know that there are some who are anarchists among us, and, dear God, they are willful in their disobedience. I pray, Lord, that you would calm their spirits. Lord, that you might open their eyes to see the realities of the things that they are doing. I know, Lord, that there are so many who are swept up in the fear and the turmoil of the present hour that we live in. Lord, I pray, dear God, that I know that there are many who are sincere. They are like the Apostle Paul was in days of old. Lord, he said that what he did ignorantly, because he did not know the reality of who Christ was. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you will open the eyes of the American people. Lord, that they would see Jesus Christ high and lifted up, that they might see and understand that he is the Savior, he is in control. Lord, that they would trust him. Lord, that he would guide them. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much, and be seated if you would, please. Open our eyes, Lord. This is a prayer that the psalmist is praying to Almighty God. This psalmist, I believe, is a believer, and so he's not dealing with an issue of salvation, but he's dealing with an issue of opening his eyes, spiritually speaking, that he might see the reality of the way that things are. And I think there's a great need today in America for many, many folks to open their eyes. I am praying that we'll have revival in these last days. I'm praying that we will see a great movement of the Spirit of God upon our nation, and that many lost souls will be swept into the kingdom in this last day, in these last days and these last hours. I want to show you three things from this particular verse, understanding that the Word of God is powerful. It is more powerful than any two-edged sword. And so as we look to the Word of God this morning, let's look at three things that we glean from the Scripture from this one particular verse. I want you to notice, first of all, that it says that there are wonderful things in the Word of God. And we don't have to look very far. In fact, if you'll look to verse number 9 of this same chapter of chapter 119, I want you to see what the psalmist is saying. Wherewithal, he's asking a question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And so I want you to understand, first of all, that there can be cleansing as we go to the Word of God, as we look to the Word of God and we take it in. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That is the question. The answer is by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. So the reality is there is cleansing for every person in the Word of God. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never trusted Him as your Savior, you've never invited Him to come into your heart, I want you to know that the cleansing fountain is available to you today. There is forgiveness of sin. There is cleansing for the lost man here today, the lost woman, the lost boy, and the lost girl. But not only that, those of you like myself who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have accepted Him into our heart. We have invited Him to become our Savior. There is daily cleansing that we can receive from the Word of God as we go to the Word of God on a daily basis. I made this analogy Wednesday night in our study of from the book of Hebrews in chapter number 10, as we closed out the 10th chapter on Wednesday evening. I mentioned that I had showered that morning, but I asked the question, is that enough for the rest of the year? I showered every day since and again this morning. Why? Because this physical body... That's enough from the peanut gallery. I don't get mad, but I do get even. Just remember that. I have an ornery side. The reality is our physical bodies need cleansing every day. But what about our spiritual man? What about the inner man? The inner man needs cleansing on a daily basis. And as we go to the Word of God, it helps us to receive that daily cleansing that God wants us to have so that we can live the Christian life day by day. Look at verse number 10. What do we see here? With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. In verse number 10, I see the wondrous gift of stability. Stability. Don't you like people who are consistent? Don't you like people that are the same today, tomorrow? Same yesterday, same today, the same tomorrow. Consistency, reliability, stability. That's what the Word of God can give you, child of God, as you look to the Word of God on a daily basis. Stability, being stable, being planted, being rooted in the Word of God. And so we have daily cleansing, we have stability to live the life that Jesus has called us to live. Verse number 11, let's look at the next wondrous thing that we see here. Thy word, your word, O God, I have hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What is that will keep us from sin? It is the word of God. Somebody once said that this book will keep you from sin. But there's another side to that. Sin will keep you from this book. So the reality is we can have cleansing, we can have stability, we can have protection from sin when we stay in the Word of God. Let's move on to verse number 12. Notice what it says. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Blessing. As we bless the Lord, we start a circle that moves toward God and then comes back to us. Because you cannot praise the Lord, you cannot bless the God of heaven without in turn being blessed. Do you understand that this morning? There is blessing in studying the Word of God. There is blessing in adhering to the Word of God. There is blessing for you. There are wondrous gifts that can be ours as we look to the Word of God. Let's move on to verse number 13. What does it say here? With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. What is another wondrous thing that we get from the Word of God is the power to witness. The power to be that witness, to declare the wonderful things of Almighty God. God is good. He is gracious. He blesses us. He gives us bountiful blessing. And so we understand as we look to Him that there is potential blessing, that there is power to witness for Him. Let me just deviate for just a moment. Let me go to the life of David. Most of you are familiar that King David, the Bible, the Lord says that he was a man after God's own heart. He is probably one of the most favorite characters of the entire Bible. But did you know that there was another side to David? Did you know that there was a side to David that we don't like to think about? Do you know that there's a side to David that he sinned, that he committed adultery, and then he committed murder to cover up that adultery? And did you know that there was a preacher man who came by to visit with King David? And he told him a story about a man who had several lambs. There was a man with one lamb, and then there was another man with several lambs. And the rich man took from the poor man and sacrificed that lamb. And David was angry. He was furious. He says, that man will pay fourfold for his sin. And that sorry prophet, that sorry man of God, that unpolitically correct, sorry Nathan, looked him in the eye and said, David, thou art the man. Psalm 51 records the events of David getting right with the Lord, coming clean of his sin. You know what he said after he repented? He said, now I can speak to sinners and they will be converted. Do you understand today that the Bible will keep us from sin? The Bible will give us power to witness if we follow what the Bible says. Look in verse number 14 for just a moment. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. What is another wonderful gift of the Word of God? It is the gift of rejoicing. The gift of rejoicing. Does not the Bible say that he that goeth forth weeping will come forth with rejoicing? He that goes forth weeping and giving out the Word of God and declaring the Word of God, that he will come again rejoicing. Rejoicing in the gift of Almighty God, the things of Almighty God, which are greater than all riches. You know what is more valuable than a $1 million home? And if you have a $1 million home, I'm grateful and I'm glad for you. Personally, I think you ought to give it to me, but you know, we'll talk about that later. You know what's more valuable than that? Winning somebody to Christ. Because that has eternal value. That will last throughout eternity. Everybody will know the soul winners in heaven. It will be perfectly obvious once we get there. Rejoicing. The gift of rejoicing. Then, notice verse number 15. Look at that for just a moment, if you would, please. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. You know what? Reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, ingesting the Word of God helps us to do. It gives us respect for the Lord God. Respect for the Lord God. Does not the Bible say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding? Do you understand that we need to respect the Lord God? We need to lift him up and hold him in awe and esteem and respect. And that is a gift. That is a wondrous thing from the Scripture if we will follow what the Scripture says. Look at verse number 16 for just a moment. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Delight. 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 Another wondrous thing that we find from studying the Word of God. Delightful. Delight. Delight. I don't know how a Christian makes it through the day without starting with the Word of God. If we'll take the time, if we'll take a moment, if we'll look at Scripture, if we'll let it speak to us, we can get up from that place, and no matter what is going on in life, no matter what is happening, we can know that God has our back. We can know that God is for us. We can know that God has already walked through our day. We can step out of that doorstep of our home, and we can know that God is going to go with us. It is a delightful thing to study the Word of God. Let's look at what Paul says in the New Testament, if you would please. Go to 2 Corinthians for just a moment, chapter number 3. And let's notice what Paul has to say about this idea in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. But we all, he's speaking to the Corinthian church, he is speaking to Christian people, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass or a mirror. Mirror. How many of you look in the mirror before you leave for work in the morning? Want to make sure we're all together, right? Want to make sure we didn't forget anything, right? It says, as we behold in the looking glass or the mirror, we see the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. As we look into this looking glass, this mirror, we see the glory of the Lord. Notice what else he says. And are changed into the same image. What image is that? The image of Jesus Christ. You see, we're not going to conform to, we are not going to look like Jesus until we get into his word. Because it is that changing agent in our life, the Word of God, changed into the same image, the image of Jesus, from glory to glory. Day after day after day after day after day. Have you ever met a Christian who just glowed? I mean, there's just something about their countenance that it just glows. Why is that? It's because they've been spending time with Jesus in the Word. They've been spending time with the Lord in the Word. They have been allowing the Word of God to change them into His image. Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning? You think of the glorious and wonderful gifts that God promises us here in Psalm 119 and verse number 18. Let's move on for a minute. I want you to see something else. We considered the wonderful things in the Word of God, the wonderful gifts that God has for us as we study His Word. Secondly, I want us to consider that no one in this room can see the wonderful things for what they are without God's spiritual or supernatural help. Let me say that again. No one in this room can see these wonderful things for what they truly are without God's supernatural help. Go with me, if you would please, to 2 Kings this morning. Let's go back into the Old Testament, further back into the Old Testament, chapter number 6. There is a very interesting story here about the prophet Elisha. He is stirring up trouble with the Syrians. I mean, he is causing them fits. And so the king of Syria comes up with an idea to capture the man of God. And so they send and they find out where he is. They inquire and they find out that he's in Dothan. And they send the army to go to fetch Elisha, the man of God, the prophet, the man of God, because the Syrian king wants to question him. Now, notice what happens here in verse number 15. We won't read all the story. It says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone before, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" He is literally asking, what shall we do? So here's the man of God, Elisha the prophet, and his associate is with him. And his associate gets up in the morning, and he sees this vast enemy. And I believe that we have a picture here of the enemies of Jesus Christ who want to conquer Christianity, that want to snuff it out, that want to put an end to Christianity. Let me help you to understand. There is always going to be a time in our life when the enemy is more numerous than we are. Folks, if you haven't figured it out yet, there's more of the enemy than there is of us. And it may look at times like they've got us completely surrounded. And so the servant of Elisha comes to him and says, "Master, what in the world are we going to do?" He must have felt somewhat like the Lone Ranger and what was his sidekick? Tonto. You know, they're surrounded by Indians. I mean, there's Indians everywhere. And Tonto, or the Lone Ranger looks at Tonto and he says, "Tonto, what are we going to do?" And Tonto looks back at him and says, "What do you mean, we, white man?" Do you ever feel like you're overwhelmed? Do you ever feel like there's so much of the enemy that there is no way that you can win? In November, it felt that way. You know what the answer was from the man of God? Look at it in verse number 16. Look at the advice of Elisha to his servant. Notice what he says here in verse number 17. "And Elisha prayed and he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Isn't it interesting today? Who is causing so much of the fuss in the Middle East? It is Syria. Isn't it amazing that the more things change, the more they remain the same? Same enemy of Israel that existed way back in the days of Elisha. And Elisha says, you see, because you have to understand, Elisha sees something and realizes something that his servant does not see. And he says, Lord, open his eyes. That is my encouragement to you today. When it looks like the enemy is surrounding you, when it looks like the enemy is about to defeat you, pray that God will open your spiritual eyes that you may see the reality of the way that things really are. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God opened the eyes of the servant. He sees the enemy encamped all around about him. The enemy is about to take Elisha. That means that they're also going to take him. He's going to be affected by this. Elisha is not the only one who's going to go down. And Elisha prays, Lord, open my servant's eyes that he may see. What did he want him to see? He wanted to see the glory of deliverance. Understand today that no matter how it may look in the hour, the day, and the hour that we live, God has an evacuation plan for his children. Don't worry. Continue to live for the Lord. God has an evacuation plan. God opened the eyes of the servant, then, and all of a sudden he saw this angelic host. He saw all these horses and he saw the fire. He saw how that this angelic host was ready to destroy the Syrian army if they touched the man of God. And he said, don't worry about it. God will take care of us. God will help us continue to do the things that I'm calling you to do. I've been telling this church for 10 years, America's greatest need is leadership. I believe that with all my heart. I believe if we get the right leadership, that God can change, can and will change America. I see good things happening. So I'm saying, God, open our eyes to the realities of the things that you want to do. I believe that God can send revival to America. I believe that God can change things. I believe that God can turn things around. And I believe that God has started to do that already. Let's march forward as soldiers of the Lord God, because he is for us. We have been under oppression long enough. And I am glad to see once again in the nation's capital the word of God being declared, prayer being put back into the White House. Amen. That is a glorious thing. That is a tremendous thing. You say, but I don't like the man who's in charge. You know what? I'm sure in the days of Elisha there were people who didn't like him. Because he was one of these guys, if he showed up in your town, it was bad news. He was going to shake things up. I mean, that's just how it was. Elisha, when they showed up on your doorstep, it was not a good thing. So fasten your seatbelts. We're in for an exciting ride for the next 4 years. God help us. God open our eyes that we might see the spiritual reality that you want to give us victory over our enemies. Do not be discouraged by the number of them. It's always been that way. It always will be that way. I challenge you to Google the real estate that belongs to the Muslim nations. It is massive. And then look at tiny little Israel right there in the midst. It is a tiny little sliver of land. And let me tell you who's going to win that conflict. It is Israel. And we better stay on Israel's side. If we want to be blessed by Almighty God, we had better stay on the side of Israel, because that is His chosen people. And He will bless us. He promised to do that in Genesis chapter number 12. He will bless those nations that bless Israel. And He will curse those nations that curse Israel. And Elisha prays, Father, open my servant's eyes that we may see. My challenge to you today is this. Lost person, I'm praying that God will open your eyes, that you might see Jesus high and lifted up, and you might understand that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to the Father but by Him. There is no way to buy His favor. There is no way to earn His favor. All we can simply do is simply just receive His free gift of salvation. Accept what He did on the cross. Ask the Lord to give you spiritual eyesight, that you might see the reality of the things that are happening right in your very midst. For people here this morning who are Christians, maybe you haven't been looking into the Word of God like you ought to. Maybe you have strayed away from your daily devotion. Let me encourage you to come back. Let me encourage you to get into the Word of God. Let me encourage you to ask God to open your spiritual eyesight, that you might see opportunity. I believe we are living in a day of fantastic opportunity. I believe that we're living in a day when many can come to Christ if we will grasp it, if we will just ask the Lord to open our eyes to see what is valuable and important. Understand that there are a multitude of people who are just swept up in this garbage. But they'll go to hell unless they come to Christ. And so that is the challenge today. Speak up. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Tell them that He is coming again. Tell them that one day He's going to set up His kingdom upon this earth, and there will be a perfect period of time upon the face of this earth with God's children. Oh, we have so much to share with the world. God, open our spiritual eyes that we might see the realities of everything that's going on. Now, when I look at it from the angle of the servant, I see protection. I see deliverance. When I look at it from the eyes of the Syrians, I see confusion. I see turmoil. And I see failure. It does not have to be that way. God, open our eyes. Let's go back to Psalm 119 as we close this out. There's one last thing that I want you to see this morning. I mentioned that this is a prayer. And the prayer is this morning that God will supernaturally illuminate our reading of the Scripture. Ask the Lord to supernaturally illuminate His Word as you study it, because it is the key to unlocking the power of God's Word in our lives. Go to Isaiah, please, chapter number 42, as we close this message out this morning. Isaiah chapter 42, beginning to read in verse number 5. Thus saith God, the Lord that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walketh therein. How do I know those things are a reality? I know it from this. I know it from studying this book. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In 6 days, God made everything that was made. We have the account. It is in our hands if we will just study, if we will look at it. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. God is calling the lost today to righteousness. God is calling the church member today to live righteously. And will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. For what purpose? We find it in verse number 7. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. You know, that's where we all were before Jesus enlightened us. We were in our own self-made prison of sin. Jesus changed all that. The moment that we invited him into our heart, he forgave us of our sin. He set us on a brand new path. The path that leads to heaven. But he left us here so that we can serve him, so that we can live for him, and so that we can affect others for the cause of Christ. Lord, open our eyes that we may see things the way that you want us to see. Spiritual things, eternal things, things that will last forever, not just a moment, but forever and forever and forever and forever. Lord, speak to me through your word. There's nothing that encourages me anymore than the word of God. I mean, you can have the roughest week. You can have the biggest downer ever in your life. And the word of God will pick you up. It will elevate you. If you let it. Lord, open thou mine eyes. Lord, oh Father, what a different world this could be. Lord, I would like for us to see this nation return to the days of the 60s and the 70s and then the end of the 80s when so many people were coming to Christ. Lord, we were in a time of revival and we didn't even know it. We just took it for granted. We just took for granted that it was going to last forever. Oh, Father, forgive us. Open our eyes today that we might see what you want us to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.